Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. A little stank on that one.
Yeah. Pretty sure that was emotion.
We're here with Chad.
Hey.
Chi.
Hi.
And Emilio.
Buenos dias, todos.
And me, Bobby.
Nice. I wanted to just kick it off. Last week, we created the NSFW channel on our Discord, and people are using it. Thank you very much
it's
for
going
using
swimmingly.
It. And I just wanted to say, they are definitely taking it at its word. NSFW is
Holy
true.
Shit.
But we appreciate you guys doing the extreme stuff in there, and appreciate that. We also, based on Jiffy the Fourth suggestions, we also have created a LFG channel. So basically, if you're looking to game any particular night or want to game a particular game at a later date or something like that, feel free to jump in the LFG channel and say you're looking for stuff. So,
and we'll also be posting information when we're doing like the DL Gaming game nights where yep. we're all going to be on playing something, or any Twitch streams and stuff like that. We can notify people there.
And we're thinking of maybe doing a calendar and putting it somewhere, but let us know if that'd be something, because at the very least, we could put our game night on there for the week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we got stuff about game night coming up here in the highlights and low lights, mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, so thank you for FigSack. He upped his thing up to $5 so he can get a T-shirt. And so everybody, if you join Patreon and you're a $5 member, you get a free T-shirt. And
but we need their stuff. We need their info, right?
Yeah. So most people on Patreon, your address is already on there. But if you could send me an email with what size you want and also put your address on there, just to have it all in one place, and I could get them all out of there in one shot. Mm-hmm. So that's Emilio at dlgaming.net. Yeah. Emilio at dlgaming.net, E-M-I-L-I-O.
Are we still doing the contest for the new T-shirt photo on our website?
Oh, we haven't done that yet, but yes.
Yeah, and nobody came with... We didn't get one entry for the...
we got one.
Oh, the music? For the intro?
Oh, for the intro. I thought you were talking about for the T-shirt design.
No.
Or the logo.
No, for the...
Oh, we did get Flying Alliance, yes.
Oh, yeah. So that, let's reiterate on that. We're kind of looking at getting a new intro going. If somebody wants to throw something together, maybe recycled, you put together a little clip that we're going to be using today. So thank you for that.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. You guys want to... This is a game-heavy podcast, guys, so we're just going to get into it. We played a lot of fucking games, and it's been a long time since we recorded for us. So here we go.
All right, well, let's just talk about what is on the horizon for games. There was a video released of Mass Effect Andromeda showing the combat system, which I think got us all pretty excited for the game, which is coming out in
Hell
March.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, March 23rd it comes out. I have been staving my excitement for this just because...
You always jump on the hype train early and you're trying to see what the other side feels like?
Because literally, I haven't read anything about it. All the video that I had seen was just people walking around and like talking to NPCs. And now that I saw the combat...
That's the best part, though.
Now that I saw the combat, which is the best part for me, it looks... I mean, I couldn't have wished for anything more. It looks fantastic. First of all, the graphics are insane. Such an improvement as over the even
when
3.
When did 3 come out? That was like, what?
5 years ago?
4 years ago? Something like that?
I want to say 2011. I'll look it up. I do want to say one thing, though. I'm really glad that they just released a video of the combat system and someone explaining it rather than some cinematic trailer.
Like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely the right way to go about it. Like, I think this is what all games need to do.
I think people just... The executives and shit behind games have like they haven't caught up with what the gamers want a lot of times. So I do appreciate that they did something like this for sure.
Well, this is how Grand Theft Auto 5 sold a billion copies. So that's what we're going to do. You know, I mean, it's just a copycat. It goes with all business.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, let's
2012.
Get into
2012 was Mass Effect 3, which I thought it was longer than
that. Yeah, me too.
But it was a good-looking game, but this looks much better. The combat, I would say, Chad walked in and he's like, "What are you looking at? Call of Duty?"
Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, the space Call of Duty one.
Yeah, and because it looks fast-paced, a lot of like dashing. You have a jetpack now, or you can have a jetpack, and you can use that for dashing left, right, forward, or back, or like big-ass jumps, or hovering above the battlefield and shooting down. Like Pharaoh would.
Now, a lot of people... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. It seems like they definitely open up the battlefield a lot more, and a movement for me was noticeably more fluid. When it came to previous Mass Effect games, there was a lot of duck and cover, but you were basically just moving from one position of duck and cover to the next one, or
it
kind
was
of
a lot
zigzagging
of corridor.
Your way
towards
the face of the enemy. That's why I played the shotgun in your face charge, because it eliminated that, you know, awkwardness of just maneuvering your character through battle. This one here, it does look, it seems like it's almost like they added a small element of sandbox to combat.
It feels more like a real battle, or looks like more like a battlefield, like a small battle going on, as opposed to Gears of War, fucking cover-based bullshit.
You could always tell when a fight was coming up in the Mass Effect games, because there would just be those chest-high
things everywhere.
All over the place. You're like, well, obviously something's about to go down.
I'm not sure I saw one of them in any of these videos.
Well, you know, one of the concerns that people have had about this game is that it looks like they've taken a lot of the strategy out and the freeze time, calculate your next move kind of thing. I don't know. Is that a concern for you guys? Because they kind of gave you the option in Mass Effect 3. I think they lean more heavily on the fast-paced action.
Mm-hmm. There's no... I mean, I didn't see anything that said that you can't pause action here. So who knows? I was excited to see the six-wheeling vehicle from part one. I thought going
the
down
Mako?
To the...
Mako?
Yeah, the Mako.
Oh, nobody
the Return
liked
of
that.
The Mako? No one should be excited about that.
I love the Mako. I love... Well, yeah, I like going down to planets and driving around and having... So you had your spaceship, you running around, and then you had a third...
It's so
game.
Funny you like that part, because that was like widely considered one of the worst parts of the Mass Effect game.
And I started playing two. I was like, where the fuck is the Mako? I don't like scanning these planets. I want to drive around them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I'm the only guy.
I totally cheated on the scanning the planets part. I just looked it up and found out where all the stuff was and scanned those planets.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
Who's got the
that was a little tedious, too, the scanning.
I love
between
that part.
The two of them.
Oops. Nobody saw that.
Just.
I dropped the mic right
but
there.
he didn't say anything profound or funny before it.
I said I love that part. So we're all excited about this. We've all played
renewed enthusiasm.
We've all played the Mass Effects, right?
Yes.
All three. Mm-hmm.
I didn't play one, but I played two and three.
I played all three back to back about 4 years ago, I think.
I played all three, and I never beat the third one, but I got pretty far. So that's going to be my goal before Andromeda comes out.
I thought the third one was the best, but I never played one. A lot of people thought...
You thought number three was the best?
Yeah.
Everyone hated number three. I think number three was the best, too. But I played it... All the games were out. I played it 1, 2, 3, and that's how I experienced it. I didn't, like, play one, like, wow, this game's incredible. Then I played the sequel. Then I played the third one. You know, people always liked the first one better.
Yeah. Well, mine was Mass Effect 2,
I think
Mass Effect 2 is considered the best.
Somebody said one was heavily RTS, and then two went the opposite way, and then three is kind of in between, in the middle of it. Is that how you would assess it?
I think three, for me, cut out a lot of the...
Inventory management, that's for sure.
Yeah, for certain. And they did that with number two as well. But with three, it felt more linear. And maybe that's why I didn't like three as much.
The whole game was a little more streamlined at that point.
Did you play as a lady, Chi?
Oh, of course.
And did you have relations with any of the crew?
Oh, Garrus. It was all about Garrus.
Yeah. Gary's sexy.
Yeah,
the sniper,
really
right?
It's that alien tentacle stuff.
Well, he's also smart.
Wow.
Face tentacle.
All right, so who did you go with? You did, who's the
Miranda,
who's the one dude that's the buff dude? That's the one you went with.
Kroll? No, not Kroll.
No, the Kroll. The buff English. No.
Oh, the guy downstairs?
The yeah, the guy downstairs.
Yeah.
That was you.
The guy downstairs that wants to go back door?
Yeah, he does.
No, I bang Miranda. She's so freaking hot.
I know. Me too.
Bobby?
Jack. You want Jack?
No, the
huh?
Blue Girl.
The Blue Girl, yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was, like, if this were an actual movie, I felt like that was who
he's supposed to.
Yeah, I felt like that was the correct decision. Now, I tried to get with
the Blue Girl?
Not Tali, the one with the mask that you couldn't see. The Blue one.
Octopus backhead, right?
Yeah.
A-something.
Who was the girl who was... the third one. We've told this story many times.
Sorry, that's what it was.
So many times.
Thanks, Ed.
But I originally tried to get with the girl who was like the your attendant or your assistant.
The one that keeps dying?
No, she doesn't.
No, she's
dying.
the one that
she's
the mailbox, right? Like you get the mail messages from her and stuff like that.
Oh no, she's lesbian.
Yeah. Well, I found out.
She tried to go for the lesbian.
Typical Bobby.
Classic.
All right,
but I would have gone for Jack, but she wasn't in my game at all.
Gross.
I think based on your previous play,
she died in Mass Effect 2, and that's not a spoiler because anybody can die. Like, you build relations with characters in 2, and then the four least developed characters, or least developed relationship with characters, those people die at the end of that in the ship crash. That is kind of a spoiler, but you know what? The game's so old. Who cares?
Yeah.
Because, she was in my Mass Effect 3, for sure.
Yeah, Jack was in mine, too.
I thought about it, but then I said, I can't do a bald girl.
I liked her, but I wouldn't do anything
sorry if
with
you're
that.
A bald girl, but yeah. I can't be
sorry,
with you.
I didn't care
sorry?
For her at all. She was
sorry, I'm not a sorry.
Sorry, I'm not a sorry.
And title.
Okay, what else we got? Oh, Dawn of War 3. Oh, sorry, I'm playing footsies with you, Amila. It's cool.
So the new video came out. It was called Prophecy of War trailer. And it's not real gameplay. It is taking, but they just made it look fucking super awesome. You know, all three factions having a big battle. That's not how it's going to go down in the game a lot of the time. But
I bet you it is. I bet you some of the single player. I bet you those were like cutscenes from the single player game.
Either way, just that it has the potential to look this good. I am in love right now. It looks like a throwback to Dawn of War 1. And I have like over 100 hours. Again, guys, don't make fun of me. The way I play RTS is in practice mode and very slowly. Yes, I put me against 8 AIs. I put them all on easy, and then I annihilate them one by one.
RTSs have you played?
Well, that's it. Enough.
I suck at all of them. I can't play. I can't multitask at all.
Micromanage.
Yeah. So I'm only good at doing that, but I find that incredibly fun. Okay. And going through the campaign on easy, too.
So Dawn of War 1, Dawn of War 2, which one did you like better?
1. 2 was more like a squad base. You only got 4 guys, or maybe two squads.
But that
4.
Seems like your style of game. Like, I thought your whole thing was it was
not
too much
this.
To manage.
This is like, it wasn't grand enough. You know, this is like large-scale warfare.
Gotcha.
And the other one was just like, 4 dudes sneaking into a fort.
So me being a huge RTS player, but mostly I would call them the crafts, like Warcraft and Starcraft, and never really played any Warhammer RTS games. The only Warhammer game I've ever played was the MMO.
Yep.
How much of this is actual resource gathering versus, you know, combat strategy?
Long. I don't really remember. But Fastidious is saying that the early reviews are saying that it's straight StarCraft 2 ripoff, so I wouldn't...
But that's not a bad thing, StarCraft 2.
Yeah, StarCraft 2 is a great game.
That's probably a smart move on their part. Honestly, if you took StarCraft 2 and put a Dawn of War skin or theme on it, then people would buy that.
Yeah, for sure.
And if that's what they did, then it's probably going to sell. But what they will do most likely that StarCraft doesn't do is do the race? Try to get as many races in there as possible. You know, every few months we're going to get a new race. We're going to get the Tyranids, going to get the Tau. There's like, I don't know, there's like 9.
Chaos Marines.
Yeah, all kinds
of
different types of Marines.
They have tons of races. So that's where, I mean, some people say that bringing in new factions dilutes the game. That's why StarCraft hasn't been doing that. But for Warhammer 40K doesn't give a shit. They're just going to pump it out. And I love it. I love the diversity. So there's so many interesting factions in that world.
The trailer showed 3 factions. It was the Eldar, the Orcs, and the Space Marines, right?
Yes.
Those are the 3 most well-known ones. And they're basically identical to the StarCraft ones, right? Because the orcs is similar to the Zerg. The Eldar is similar to the Protoss, and then the humans and Space Marines.
Yeah, very similar. Mm-hmm. Except for the humans aren't the good guys, per se. They're just as bad as the bad guys, in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
I know nothing of the Dawn of War universe. When you guys start talking about that, I'm just so completely lost.
Lab Monkey was talking to me about it.
Necrons. That's right.
Yeah. Half of our hike that we took with Bobby... And Bobby's like, I don't know what the fuck, you guys, after like 40 minutes.
Oh, you know what? I'm surprised that HOTS isn't on here. We should probably talk about the new addition to HOTS.
We don't even put it on there anymore. We just assume it's going to come up.
Yeah, for sure. That's it for On the Radar, right? We can go into games?
Yeah, we actually have some big titles coming up. It's been pretty like dry lately. I mean, we had For Honor come out, but... You know, to not much fanfare.
What I mean, I've seen a lot of hype. Just none of us are interested in playing it, really. Well, although Chi's been talking about maybe getting it.
My little brother is playing it, and I've been watching him play it, and he's doing more duels than anything else. And I never did a duel in the game, but it was entertaining to watch.
That's the 1v1 one mode.
It's 1v1. Top selling. Okay. Huge on Twitch. It is a fun game to watch, and for me, it was okay for what I experienced, but if it means playing with a friend who's playing it consistently, it might be worth picking up.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm still debating if it's worth it at full value.
You just don't want to miss the rush, you know, if it starts to taper off when you come in, but usually, like, they'll have a sale, and that'll bring in a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm not... uninterested. I'm just not interested in paying $60 right now.
And I think that's across the board. None of us are really interested in paying $60.
Still very fun to watch, though, so I do recommend checking out some of the For Honor streams.
Yeah, and let us know if you are playing For Honor and think it's worth it, and maybe somebody will pick it up.
Let us know what you think down in the comments.
Should we go to Listener Game Night, or do we want to talk HOTS real quick?
No, let's talk about the Listener Game Night. Okay. That was last Friday. We got everyone together, a lot of people together. I think we had a full 8, maybe more, playing some video games.
We were up to 9
Overwatch
on Cards Against Humanity, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, well, we started off with Overwatch, and then when we got a bigger crowd, we switched over to Left 4 Dead 2, which is a classic.
4v4, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Well... it was fun for some of us.
Bobby was doing his usual. No, don't go there. You're gonna Yep, that's what happened. Don't run over there. Yep.
Well, we had some people join, and they're just like, "Oh no, I never really played this game." I'm like, "What?"
Probably three or four people had never played before.
I had never played the Versus.
What's funny is that I was curious to see how the division of our, like, the DLG people, like, would end up in teams. And it was Bobby and three viewers, two of them never having played the game before. And then it was Chad, Emilio, and I.
Yeah.
It's not very fair.
It was a good time, though. I had fun reliving that game. But how many times did that game crash? And not just, I mean, it crashed for me once. It crashed for someone else twice. And then somebody else, it crashed. And I'm talking like a hard crash. Like, all of a sudden, boom.
To the desktop. Gone.
Like, no error message, nothing. No trace of it.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
And turns out Chi likes to run off in this game, too.
Yeah.
Just goes off and does her thing.
She's amazing at that. Like,
yeah.
Like, if
here's
you...
Here's the deal with Left 4 Dead 2, though.
Yeah, sorry. Like,
you gotta keep moving.
Was she running ahead, or were you guys lagging behind? Because there are people who play that game, and they're like, I've got to kill every zombie. I'm like, the zombies don't stop coming. Uh-huh. So the idea is that you kill the special infected, and then you cover ground. Like, it's all about covering ground. It's a move from point A to point B.
Well, Bobby, like my grandma used to say, it's hard to catch up with your friends when you have a choker's tongue around your neck.
Yeah, her grandma did say that.
Okay, so there was one point where I really did run off on myself. And it was, we were playing, what map was it? We were playing, it was the swamp, not the swamp map, it was.
We started off with the pariah, what was the, Paris. The Paris.
Parish?
Parish.
The Parish. Really, yeah. And there was the one event where you start off in the trailer and then you have to run around the fence and turn off the alarm in order to stop the zombies. My logic in this was that I would be the person to turn off the alarm, and three of you guys left to your own would be able to do just fine moving together.
We didn't get out of the trailer.
Yep.
We were on the front. We were dead on the welcome mat, dying.
Whereas I had turned off the alarm.
She did really well by herself.
Started heading back, yeah, and started heading back, but the tank killed me eventually.
I remembered so much from that game. Like, as soon as I got back in there, I'm like, okay, this I know all the plays. This is where the smoker's supposed to be. This is where the boomer's going to be. You know, like, we've got to go out, get underneath here, wait for them to come, shoot here, then we move up. Like, I knew there's so many. It's like when you play TF2. Like, you know, you got to incrementally work your way up to this point. And there's, like,
check
even though there's, like,
almost.
Two yeah. or three capture points, like, you know you have to cut, like, secure this area until you can secure that area. Yeah. So, like, all that totally came back to me, but it was...
But it didn't matter because you were with new players.
Bobby was playing a tactics game, and we were just running around playing deathmatch, yeah. is what is what was going on.
Presidio says he forgot what happened. He was so drunk.
We were all drinking. It was yeah. it all so, got... Except for Bobby. Bobby was not.
Cards before golf?
Cards yes. was before yes. golf.
Okay, so
that's
we play...
Got off.
You know, when she brought this up, I was like, oh, man, this is going to suck. I don't know why I thought, but then she pulled it up. This Cards Against Humanity, never played a game. It's like apples to apples. If you never played that, then go fuck yourself. But so we were playing, and we were playing eight people deep, and, you know, you're presenting your card. We fucking so
but
much fun.
First of all,
I love board games.
She sent a link to a website, and it was like a dot ZZY.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not clicking on this.
It was a dot. Don't check. Don't
yeah.
click on this.
Yeah. Please turn off any sort of ad aware before like, you click on
it. It was like one of those links that would like redirect you to like mm-hmm. meatspin.com. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I was like, I'm about to see a butthole.
Or like yeah. a jump scare with yeah.
But it worked great.
Yeah.
Obviously, this isn't allowed because you're not spending money for Cards Against Humanity, but we went to it anyways. And
yeah, and you can add and
so
remove
good.
All the additional...
The different sets.
And even the obscure ones. There's all kinds. You could just click on,
there
click
were a
off.
Ton of them, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great time. We had
and
a
who,
really good time.
Who won, by the way? I forgot.
I think you did.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah,
right,
you did. Oh, my gosh.
At least once. And then this... It just happens every time. Once everybody's so drunk that you can't do anything but click, left click, it's time for golf with friends.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's just, oh, it's easy to download.
How many did we have for playing golf?
Gee, that was your first time, right?
My first time playing golf with friends.
We yeah. had,
surprisingly
what,
fun.
Seven, eight people? Six people, maybe? Something like that?
I was...
We had a great time.
Tanked by then. It was mm-hmm. my worst showing of golf with friends ever.
I was ready to
but there,
fall asleep with
there has been
too.
Updates. There was two new maps. And we didn't even get to the last one. It was just such a shit show. All right. So, thanks. We're going to have another one this week. Wait, shit. The week's almost over. Maybe tonight?
No, you got...
Maybe.
I don't
I'm
know.
Not sure.
We'll right. see.
Check the LFG channel.
Check the LFG channel.
Yeah.
We will organize.
All right. I might even want to put this under last week's arrows and shit. I went back to Star Wars Rogue, and I was wrong. It is a pretty snazzy game. The music is actually really good. I had my headphones on, and sounds like, is the music really good or what? Because you're dancing. I was like, it's kind of like a...
Which game is this again?
It's the one that I shot on last week, but it was 9 out of 10. I was like, okay, I got to go back. I only played it for 5 minutes.
Was it one of the twin-stick shooter ones?
Well, that was the argument. This is definitely Bullet Hell.
Okay, Bullet Hell.
But it is a twin-stick shooter.
Star Wars Rogue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're a robot, and you're fighting through this. There's not a whole lot of story here. But it is fun dodging all these bullets and upgrading your guy. What I didn't like is that this game has so much stuff, like modifiers for your guns.
Oh, gotcha. Too much.
It's almost like...
No, it's good. But I would have liked it fed to me slowly,
gotcha.
Unlocks, like Binding of Isaac, as opposed to it's all available. It's just RNG whether or not it's there or not.
Okay.
You know? Oh, I do have a funny little story from this. So they have something similar to Binding of Isaac as the Devil Room, where you trade your hearts for super powerful stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
Right? So I go in there, but I don't know that that's the mechanic in this store. So I go in there, and it's real dark in there. I was like, oh, shit, this stuff's awesome, and I can afford it all. And I had this is my best run that I had. I was on the fourth level. I had 12 hearts, which is a lot in this game because you start with four, maybe six. So I was fucking doing so much damage. I had all these modifiers, and then I bought all the good shit. I walked out of that room with one heart.
You didn't realize your hearts were disappearing?
I didn't know. I thought I was buying them with currency. And so I walked out, and I was like, what the fuck? And that I
the next
away.
Thing
yeah.
killed you.
again, there's probably like eight different robots you can choose from, and they're all very diverse, and they have all the things going for them. But why not just have them as unlocks? It's weird having them all up front.
Wait. Oh, okay. You just wanted you wanted more things unlocked, so you felt like you had some progression. That
you could do? But it's all just there for you. Which is, I mean, some people might prefer it that way.
So is there any progression? Like, if you die and you start over again, are you completely starting from scratch?
Yeah. I didn't see one thing that is perpetual progression. There might be, but you level up, but that's gone. You're back at level zero when you start over.
So the term roguelike, does that have to involve that kind of over time progression, or is this considered a roguelike because when you die, all your stuff's gone?
I think it's somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
I think it could be either or. There's roguelites, which are roguelite, I think, to me, is the one that has the progression that stays.
And this roguelike
is like
when you die, you're dead and start.
But it also could have that as well.
Okay.
So it goes either way. Okay. Anyway, more fun than I thought it was. Not sure if I'm going to stick with it because I'm so balls deep in Binding of Isaac right now. And I streamed it the other night, and it just so happened that, you know, Sam was playing with me, and it just so happened that I had some epic fucking runs. If you go to dlgaming.net on
Twitch.
On Twitch, you can see my last run where I killed Delirium.
It's for the dlgaming, D-O-T-net.
D-O-T-net, yeah. I killed Delirium for the first time. That's the new last craziest boss. Had I not been, I was drunk at this point. Man, every goddamn story starts with I'm, or ends with I'm drunk. All right.
Because no great story started with I was eating a salad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delirium was kind of a cop-out, I feel. It was just a hodgepodge of all the other bosses.
Yeah, Fastidious said you were drinking strawberry Mai Tais the whole time.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video on Twitch, you can't hear audio because you were playing music and they
really good music, by the way. DJ Emilio.
They turned off your audio for copyright infringement.
It was so much fun, and it just so happens that I happened to stream when
it was the last,
like, some good shit happened, and it was the last run.
It was the last run. So if you do watch it, because it's a 3-hour video, so don't watch the full 3 hours. Watch the last.
The run before
minutes.
That was epic too, but that's a lot of video watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
Let's have somebody else talk.
Yeah.
Bobby, Chi, somebody else want to talk about something? Jet Set Radio, perhaps?
Yeah. I don't know.
Abzu.
Think so.
No, you played Abzu, right?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about Abzu. There's really not a whole lot to say about it because I haven't played too much into it, but this game came highly recommended from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. This is from the people who made, what are those games? Journey? Is that right?
That game company made Journey. So yeah. Is that the
I'm gonna
same?
Pull up their Steam page here.
I had this game for the longest time on my wish list, but
this is Giant Sparrow. Recent... They made the last Swan, the unfinished Swan.
Hmm. Well, this game was recently in a Humble Bundle, and it was a good bundle. I don't know if it's still around, but check out Humble Bundle.
That was the monthly bundle, yeah.
A what?
That was the monthly bundle, correct?
Yeah, it might have been the monthly bundle.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I lose track. I get some of these goddamn bundles.
Oh, it's from the art director of Journey. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So it might be considered a walking simulator. I guess a swimming simulator would be more accurate. There's really not much of a game here other than walking around the environment, collecting things, and reaching checkpoints. But it is a beautiful game. It almost feels educational to a point because you can get these little pickups where it will unlock these fish, and then you can sit in an area and you can observe all these different kinds of fish. And I'm assuming these are actual fish indigenous to the ocean, but it was, I got to say, it was a little creepy for me.
Creepy?
Because, yeah, well, I've been reading a lot of H.P. Lovecraft, and all his stuff is about creatures from the ocean coming up and all this creepy half-man, half-fish stuff. So that's going through my head the whole time while I'm playing this. Plus, there's only two things that scare me. I love horror games, horror movies, all that. But really, the only things that I find actually scary are the ocean and space, because those are the great unknowns. You don't know what the fuck is out there or down in the ocean. Like, there could be giant dinosaur creatures down there that are just lying dormant. We don't know. I don't know. I could never, be one of those, Jacques Cousteau people going down there and figuring that or diving around and seeing that. But it is a beautiful game. However, when I was playing it, I upscaled the resolution. So I got a 1440p monitor. My hardware problems continue, by the way. That's what I'm about to get into here. But I had a 1440p monitor, and I'm playing it. It did not have a resolution for 1440p, only 1920 by 1080 or the full 4K, like 3840 by 21, whatever. So I put it at that, so it's upscaling it, which I've seen a lot of games do. You actually play it at a high resolution, then your monitor downscales it, and you'd think, what's the difference? But it actually does look sharper. I did that, and it blue screened on me. And the whole computer just hard shut down, boom. And I restarted, and everything was fine after that point. But I've just been playing it on 1080p. You know, I've been suffering with the 1080p graphics, trying to make it through this beautiful game that I can't experience at high resolution.
That sucks.
So it's supposed to be like a relaxing game, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But you're thinking about H.P. Lovecraft, and your shit's breaking half the time. So you're like stressed out from playing this relaxing game.
Yeah, plus the ocean, I don't know. I don't think we should be fucking around with that stuff down there. I don't think people need to go down there.
That's not our world, huh?
Poking around at sharks and shit. Like, that, it's not going to end
up. Is there a strong element of a story? Like, when you gather pieces together, is there any, unveiling?
There's no dialogue or anything like that. You are going... What I feel like is happening, and I'm not sure if this is eventually going to reveal itself later in the game, but when you go to these areas, it does start off very dark and murky, and you go to this place that looks like it's been abandoned, and then you go into it, and then you get kind of teleported, bright light, something happens, and then you're in this beautiful, serene place. So it almost seems like you're reliving memories. I don't know if that's going to be explained later. And there are these like chambers, these man-made mechanical chambers underwater that you enter and exit, which kind of mark the levels, I suppose, in this game. But it's very abstract. There's no dialogue. There's nothing. You play this guy who's fairly faceless. It looks like he might be in scuba gear, but it's all very abstract. It's not like a realistic portrait.
Yeah, because he doesn't have scuba tanks on. The fuck?
Yeah, and he has no... He kind of looks like a cat. I don't know. But I had trouble with the controls on this game, too. It took me a while. It had that whole inverted thing, you know, if you press up, then you go down. And then I'm like, oh, that's not going to work. I switched it around, and that way was even more difficult. So the controls took a little... I think a controller would be a lot better for this game.
So what you're saying is you hate this fucking game.
No, I think it's a good game.
There was actually a warning on the Steam page that said a controller is highly recommended.
And I would agree with that.
For this game.
Maybe not for me, because I'm terrible with controllers, so I think I'd stick it out with a keyboard and mouse. But it is a very... I think it's going for like a really serene, kind of relaxing gameplay.
Well, if it's from the guys that made Journey, that's kind of the same thing with that. Mm-hmm. Like,
I want to see where it's going, though, so I'll continue to play it.
Cool. I played something similar. Downward is a parkour game. And
you didn't want to talk about We Need to Go Deeper? Like, perfect segue from that?
Well, I was thinking the same thing because it's a walking simulator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
we'll double segue after this one. Yeah. We'll segue into another thing.
So you're just jumping around by getting like these little power ups that you can unlock more skills with, but really it's just...
But
like,
it's a parkour game?
It's a parkour game, but it's really like, it's nothing like, what's the other famous one?
Assassin's Creed?
No. The one with the
Mirror's
chick.
Edge?
Yeah, Mirror's Edge. Oh, and gotcha. There's like guys with guns and stuff. This is very like, all you're doing is jumping. There was like one bad guy for the hour I played or so. And anyway, it was good, not great.
Can you bring it up, Bobby, so I can see what the hell he's talking about?
But I would have continued to play it, but it reminded me of Valley so much. And I'm just coming off of Valley, which I played like last month. And
Valley was the one that you got the like robot legs or
yeah,
whatever?
You jump around a valley, okay. Basically. And I liked it.
Not this one, Downward, he's talking about.
I just kind of did this, so I wasn't really all about it. But it wasn't bad. I was kind of intrigued about what's going on. Post-apocalyptic kind of area, like way in the future. I can't recommend or not recommend, really. You just got to check it out. If it looks interesting to you, or if you like parkour, jumping around, then check this out.
It's listed as early access still.
I would recommend Valley over this right now, but I really didn't give it its complete just due.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It looks kind of like a game.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a game.
Well, you mentioned a walking simulator.
Okay, well.
Okay, fair enough.
A jumpy simulator.
Yeah. Okay. It almost reminds me like of 3D platforming. Map surfing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys ever done like map surfing in, let's say, Counter-Strike, for instance? It's basically they design maps where, gravity and momentum of the game, parkour.
Yeah, gotcha.
You just go through the obstacles and you try to make it to the next level.
Yeah, please. Hmm. Or, I'll grab it. Why don't you talk about, need to go deeper.
No, I'll wait for you to come back. Okay. Gee, you don't have anything? Bobby, you got anything else? Jetson Radio?
No, we could do Jetson. No, I'm not going to. I played like 5 minutes of that because Lucio came out in Heroes of the Storm, so I'm on like a rollerblade game kick right now.
Cool. Life is Strange. I got into the second episode. I'm almost done with the second episode. It's definitely getting better, for sure. A lot, it's all the same thing. It's all about conversations and how you handle them with the rewinding and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting deeper. More allusions to some crazy shit coming. So that's pretty cool. But, everybody knows about this game already. Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
Every episode gets better, I feel like. Right, Bobby?
With Life is Strange?
With Life is Strange. Like, it expands more. And
yeah. No, I'd agree with that. But I'd say the first one really doesn't represent the series very well.
Yeah.
Because it's very high school drama. And that doesn't really sit well with like a lot of older or male people. Like I could see a lot of people getting turned off by the first episode.
If it wasn't for everybody's crazy recommendations,
what up, Figgy?
I wouldn't have continued. I wouldn't have got to episode 2, and I wouldn't say I'm to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I hung in. But I'm really hoping that comes at episode 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And,
like I said, the more you play it, the deeper you get into the story, and you just get more into it,
I'm glad I'm keeping Chloe alive.
But it seems like Sam's, really into it, too.
Yeah, right? She's into it today, too. She watched me play for over an hour.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
Well, let's talk. We need to go deeper first.
Okay.
So We Need to Go Deeper came out this week or last week, or it's relatively new. It's still in early access. Emil and I wanted to play a co-op game together. So I did a little search for co-op roguelike because, he likes roguelikes. And We Need to Go Deeper popped up as one of the newest games came out. It's $10 right now, early access. So we said we'd give it 2 hours and see if we want to keep it or if we're going to return it. And it started off, we didn't know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a 2-4-person co-op only game. So you have to have at least 2 people.
Local co-op.
No, you can do online also.
Okay.
We played over LAN, though.
Yeah.
You don't see that option as much anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, what is this artwork called? The paper cutout type artwork?
I don't know.
There's got to be a name for it, right? Like what?
Yeah, probably. It's like it almost looks like it's painted, and it's pop-up book almost.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like a children's book. What's that one?
Monty Python uses this a lot. It's just cutouts. Mm-hmm.
Very, very simple.
It reminds me of that one children's book with the monsters.
Where the wild things are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's everything. It looks great. Graphically, it's everything that it needs to be.
Yeah, it didn't need more graphics.
Yeah.
This was, and it's kind of got this Jules Verne-esque kind of plot, and so it actually works for what the art style fits the story. And the whole concept of the game is you're trying to go as deep as you can. But it's set up similar to Love in a Dangerous...
Space-time,
where you're in the ship, and there's a bunch of different rooms. And you can, they've got the control room. So you can't control the ship unless you're in the control room and activate it. But somebody's got to turn on the engines or man the torpedoes and all this stuff. So you got to have one guy running around. You're talking to each other. So generally, I was driving the thing. And then when we got to an enemy that we had to fight, I would run out and turn off the engine while he was using the torpedoes. Because as you're getting hit, holes are coming into your ship and different monsters are coming into the ship. So you got to fight these monsters and fix the holes while he's shooting with the torpedo. So, you got to kind of work together and do different parts of the game, kind of like Overcooked, where, you're kind of trying to do different parts of the game.
Mm-hmm. But it was really fun.
Like once we got figured out on what we're doing, but what was cool is they've got these caves that, and if you can make it into a cave, then you can get out of your submarine and it's kind of like a platformer and you're trying to pick up loot and get your ship better.
Cause it's like when you get out of the Mako.
Yeah, exactly. The Mako. Jesus fucking Christ. So that was a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
So there was things here that are really good. Oh, and we got deep enough, and we got to a boss. We didn't even know there was boss fights in here.
We got wrecked.
No, we beat him.
Oh, we beat him. Yeah, I couldn't believe we made it back from that. Because there's so many holes in our ship.
Yeah, our ship was just, like, destroyed. I'm, like, repairing everything.
You think it would be easier if you had four players instead of just the two?
Well, that's the thing. I'm hoping it scales.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't think it does right now.
It would have to be constant. Bad guys, because four people, I feel like I'd be slacking and shit, taking a nap. There's a bed in there.
Yeah.
Where you can take to heal yourself up. So it's a lot like Lovers of Dangerous Space Time, and everybody knows how much I love that game. But there's two places where they got even better than that game. One, where the hull breaches, where the bad guys come inside the place, and you have to fend them off to hitting them. Chad already talked about that. But the other thing is, there's only two views. Lovers had one view. You could see inside your spaceship and outside at the same time.
Right.
This, you only have inside or outside. So while you're inside, you're hoping that your boy's taking care of you because you're just hitting.
But you can see through the portholes.
Yeah, portholes. You could see fucking monsters swimming around the outside. Like you could just see teeth while you're trying to fix this hole. It's a great game. But there was like some.
It's still early.
It is really early. There's some game breaking bugs that we run into. Chad didn't really feel it because he wasn't down in the engine room where the real man work happens.
Real work. I was just driving along.
Yeah. And
give me more engine, asshole.
So this is 2 to 4 players, and it does say online co-op. So
it
you
does,
guys weren't actually playing local co-op. You weren't sharing a screen.
No, we weren't sharing a screen. Okay. Not local. We were doing LAN. Because
it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work online. Because I scrolled down and looked at some of the reviews, and one of the first complaints I saw was that the online co-op wasn't working. But you guys were able to get it working online.
Oh yeah, we did LAN, and we had a great time.
But we didn't do LAN because online wasn't working. We just defaulted. Okay. So who knows if they fixed that or not? This game needs a little longer to cook. The physical combat is probably the worst thing in the game. For me, it was just kind of like super simplistic. Although I don't think they can go past that with that art style.
What's funny is like you start with a wrench, and you hit people with a wrench, but then you can get like swords and guns and stuff. But if you give up the wrench, you can't fix your ship. So somebody's always got to have a wrench. Mm-hmm. So you can have like different assignments. Like this guy's the guy that fights. He's got a sword. Mm-hmm. But he can't fix the ship.
Which means he can't be on the torpedoes because the torpedo guy has to keep... So
do you think this game would be easier with 4 people playing rather than 2 people?
I think so.
Unless there's a ramping difficulty.
Yeah.
Mm.
If there's constant sharks coming at you.
Yeah.
There was a lot of diversity in... for a game like this, there was a lot of diversity in bad guys.
Yeah.
They all do the same thing.
Our one complaint, though, was...
Most part.
You weren't... So... Gold is kind of like the currency, and you want to get it because you can buy things, and then the roguelike elements, the progression elements, takes this gold. You buy shit, and then it's available, we think. But you weren't earning gold as you're moving down. You could only earn gold if you hit a cave.
And if you don't see a cave,
and
if
you could
just
be
fucked.
Like doing 5 minutes going down and never hit a cave.
Yeah.
And then so we were thinking like if it was picking up gold as you were going down, it would be
at
a
least
nice
some.
Thing. Yeah, something.
Yeah. It sounds like there should be some reward for continuing to get further and further deeper. But
yeah.
For $9.99, this does actually sound like a really good game. What's it called? We need to go
deeper. We need to go deeper.
That's what she said also.
Yep.
Yeah, there we go. Obvious joke. No one even laughs at it. We just acknowledge it. Yep.
I can't not do it.
Yeah.
I feel ashamed when I say it sometimes.
The problem is he keeps hearing that from Sam, and that's why he's a little ashamed.
Gosh.
See, now we got to do the insults.
Okay. So... You wouldn't recommend the game at this point, though?
It's still really early, so probably not.
Here's my question. The sign of a good co-op game is always does it make you communicate?
It forces
you to communicate.
Nonstop. Lead to a better game.
Did you play?
Flying Hawaiian jumped in into our voice chat and listened to us for 1 minute, and he was gone because like we were just like, man, the fucking things, and get on there, and there's a fucking tentacle in my room, and fucking
yeah.
It was nonstop.
Yeah, if I jumped into a voice chat and heard that,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was like Overcooked. We're not yelling. It was all cooperative.
Once we had worked out the strategy.
Ends up in yelling.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And then we, what was good, here's a testament to the game. We switched up our strategy halfway through, and we're...
That's when we hit the boss.
We progressed quite a bit on that. We went to a heavy engine build as opposed to a wide build. If that makes any sense?
Yeah.
Like a little bit of everything.
As long as they keep progressing as this game looks like it could be, I think this game will be a good one to get. But like I said, just right now it's just a little early in it.
Yeah, tell me when because I'd love to try it.
We could all play this game. I see us all. This is like an Overcooked that we can play from our homes.
Yeah exactly.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it, like Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time was cool, but it only supported two.
Yeah.
Mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay, so not controller.
I'm sure you could. Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
Well, let me see. Does it have controller support? No. Cross-platform multiplayer, though.
Cross-platform.
Wow. Mm. Which means you have to have controller support, right?
Yeah, you must.
It would say controller support there.
So I've been bugging Chad to play Satellite Rain for months, and he never wants to do it. And then we finally did, and I was like, "This is not what I thought it was going to be."
Satellite Rain game out a couple years ago, a year or two ago.
Yeah,
and I played it and reviewed it on an earlier podcast, and I liked it.
But since then, everybody likes this game for the most part. It's 9 out of 10 on Steam. Great look. It has that kind of like Blade Runner look to it in the future.
Yep.
Everything's run by corporations, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking we're going to go in and play XCOM 2. But that's not the case. Even though you can kind of play like that, it's mostly sneaking about.
Okay, so
that's what I got.
I think the multiplayer was obviously added on later. They designed this game for single-player experience. And I think us playing multiplayer, like, normally in the game, you could pause it really easily and make decisions and set up your guys and however. But when we were playing multiplayer, I couldn't figure out a way to pause the game so we could set up what we're doing. And so it ended up being a real-time kind of strategy game where you had your guys and you were picking who was shooting and whatever in real time. And so that was unexpected for you. You were expecting when combat happened, it would pause and you would take turns, right?
Yeah.
Like XCOM. No, it's not like
that.
But
not just that. The combat, it seemed more sneaking about, and I hate stealth.
Well,
I wanted to kill everybody.
Yeah. So this game... Look,
that looks like he's killing
Have you guys played, what was it, the cyberpunk games that look a lot
Dragon,
like this? Shadowrun.
Shadowrun.
Yes, I played Shadowrun. Yeah.
Is it similar to Shadowrun?
No. This is real time. You can pause. This is set up similar to like Fallout series, where it's real time, but you can pause and make decisions and then start the action back up.
But when you play multiplayer, you can't pause.
Well, we couldn't figure out a way, but I'm not saying you can't. But this game...
I'm not saying it's a bad game. It just wasn't what I was expected. Definitely not at that, because we were drinking. Oh, here we go again. just wasn't enough action and stuff.
But this game is really fun. If you're in the right mood for it, this game is amazing.
Yeah, I might check it out on single player.
Yeah, you should. And then what is also cool that I think is cool, but I don't know, maybe you have a different opinion, is the map is the map.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have different quests that come up, so you have to do different things to get in there. So
but what he means by the map is you're not going to new areas. It's one gigantic area. And you just have to do things within there.
Yeah, it's set up kind of like a open world sandbox where things like a GTA or something where you go to a different area and it's got a quest now and you do the different quests.
But it is isometric.
Yeah, it
you
is.
You can't even rotate the camera, which I found.
You can a little bit, but not very much.
Yeah. Don't take all our negative stuff to heart. Like, it's a good game, I can tell.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, really cool looking. Dragon Ball Xenoverse, played it for probably 2-3 hours.
Is this a fighting game?
It is.
Okay.
But the fighting, and here's my complaint, is under, layers and layers and layers of thick stuff.
Story?
Not just story, but I think they wanted to set this up as a...
Is this the first Xenoverse?
Like an MMO? Yeah, is there a second one?
When he was looking for it, they popped up Xenoverse 2, so I was just kind of curious.
So they kind of set it up like an MMO. So they put you in this online town where you go and get your missions and stuff, and it was completely empty. There wasn't any other players at all.
Okay.
And this whole thing was all set up for a lot of players to be running around. It came out in 2015. It shouldn't have no players. Maybe I was doing something wrong, but it probably took me 45 minutes to have my first real fight. And the combat is fucking awesome. What you're looking at is the real fighting. Like, it looks awesome. Really cool. The seamless controls. Really enjoyed all of it. And the way the story works is really, really fucking cool. So it's basically fan... They're doing it for the fans. You can go back and intersect yourself into any of the epic fights that's ever happened in the whole
Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So you can go to the first episode where he fought like his brothers and stuff and like fight in there, and then all the way through to like where he's fighting Cell and stuff. Because the story is somebody's fucking with time and you need to go back in time and put it right again. And just walk off in the sunset. So it just keeps progressing all these times. And of course, all the times that are getting fucked up are awesome places during the history of the show. So it looks great. Controllers are great. It was just like, it seemed too much that we're pushing you to multiplayers. And none of that was there. Like, there was no players to be multiplayer with.
I gotcha.
And so for a fan of the series, you probably already own it. If you don't, definitely get it. I thought it was great, but you are going to put up with a lot of just fluff for no reason. I would love to just get to the fighting, get to the missions, but it's like you finish the first mission, they're like, go talk to this guy, and then you got to go find that guy before you can start the second mission. It was just a lot of that.
So when you intersect yourself into these battles, are you fighting alongside?
Yeah.
Okay.
But sometimes you'll be on the bad guy side because whoever's fucking with time will just distort it in some weird way. So there was a time where like I was helping Frieza and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, really cool. I thought the way they did that is so much fan service. This game is like totally fan service. There's just too many layers of fluff for me.
The trickiest thing in a fighting game is building the story around it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think they did a good job here.
So just a side note, I guess, Dragon Ball, I tried to get into it and I couldn't. Is it worth getting into the Dragon Ball anime?
It's
cartoon, I guess.
At this point, no, I would say. It's just so large scale that really I even only know like one or two actual Dragon Ball, I would call them series, I guess, where they split the like time passes as you watch this anime, and
Gotcha. That's
how they introduce new characters into it, because people are getting married, making babies, and you know, forming new stories of their own.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like I've watched you watch Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah,
it's like that where they're just talking almost the whole time, and there's not a whole lot of action.
But
when the action does happen, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I tried to like get into Naruto also, and I felt like the same thing. Like three episodes before a fight happens,
there are a lot of filler episodes, which makes it difficult to pick up.
When I was watching Dragon Ball, there's actually a version of Dragon Ball where they cut out a lot of the fluff ones, and it was just more action. So I forget what it's called, but
I've seen it too on YouTube. It's Dragon Ball.
I forget.
It's that word for where they only give you the important parts.
I don't know.
I forgot.
Crib. Cliff notes.
A lot of times they do the 2.0.
Anyways.
Another thing, I don't know what happened.
A
bridge.
A bridge.
Good job, Dad.
We're getting to a point where like I'm starting to think that this didn't even exist, but I definitely fucking remember it. When I was in high school, or middle school actually, VHS copies of Dragon Ball Z were going around. And they killed each other, like flat out blew each other's heads off and it was definitely Dragon Ball. And once it got on TV, there was none of that. Like nobody ever dies ever. But those old ones were fucking awesome, especially when you're a teenage kid. I don't know how to see that stuff anymore.
Hmm.
But that stuff was awesome.
Bobby, can you look and see if there is a second one coming out of this?
Yeah. Man.
Bless you.
Bless you.
God, I thought I was lost with all the Dawn of War shit, and then you guys start talking about this.
Like, what were you doing? What were you doing this whole time? Learning. Becoming better than you.
Yeah. So Dragon Ball Xenoverse. Okay.
Xenoverse,
like, I don't know the difference right between down there Dragon the Ball, Naruto, what's the other guy, Super Saiyan?
Like, Bleach.
Yeah, see
it's
all
another
that?
Large-scale like anime series. It's amazing if you kind of grow with it, but yeah. To pick up just out of nowhere, it's very overwhelming.
Okay, so the Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 came out in 2016, so maybe you should play
that.
Oh, that's
where
game.
Everybody is.
Yeah, probably.
All right, cool. Is there anything else on the highlights and lowlights?
Lost Castle, do you want to talk Lost Castle?
Sure, our shit show.
We were playing.
We were drinking.
We were drinking and played the two of us. And apparently it's harder with two people than one person because we couldn't get past the second level.
Well, it's either that or your level was so far behind, but I don't see because you were stronger on paper. Like you had more strength and more defense.
Yeah. I don't know.
So
maybe I just suck at the game.
I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't scale up well with two people. Playing single, it was a lot easier
because you're splitting the coins
to carry Chad.
You're splitting the coins between two people.
Yeah.
So, and the health potions and stuff, health the apples and bananas and all.
Yeah, and so, it would probably help if you had played more.
Yeah, for sure. But it's a good game. So
it is a good game.
If you're interested, Lost Castle is it called?
Yeah, I still have been meaning to play that one. I installed it this week, but have not got around to playing it yet.
We'll play it and let us know what you think.
Yeah. Gee, you were saying you were playing the new Overwatch patch?
I'm not quite playing it, but looking into it, I've read the full details on the next upcoming Overwatch patch. It's live on the PTR region, and yes, I'm still playing a lot of Overwatch, so I'm not really branching out with other games at the moment. With this new patch, they're coming out with a custom maps mode. So
cool.
A lot of other shooters out there, you'll be able to create your own custom games, join others, adjust the settings, and really kind of make it, you know, your own experience.
Nice.
I might not be too interested in custom maps, but I will dabble every now and then. It's good because it allows you to maybe, socially connect with others without, you know, being too serious with the game and whatnot. So that'll be fun.
So a little side note on that. When I was big into Counter-Strike Source, I was trying to get into making maps in Source. And I was in the progress of making the sweetest map ever. And I ended up losing it. But here's...
What happened?
My hard drive got corrupted and I lost all of it. But here it was. So picture Counter-Strike Source. So you're in this giant submarine, right? So it's all like in a tube, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrorists start in the loading bay inside of crates. So you had to break your way out of the crate and then get your weapons from the weapons rack that was over there. And the counter-terrorists start in their own individual room, like they just woken up and the alarms are going off. So it was in this big... And I had, like, the kitchen set up, like, all the different rooms.
Really
and there
cool.
was two bomb sites. One was on the engine side, and one was in the control room side. But then you could also go under the ship into the water area, and so you could, like, swim under to different areas underneath. It was awesome. And yeah. I was so excited about this map, and then my hard drive crashed, and I lost it all. And anyways.
And he made it because it was a submarine because you couldn't make the skybox, right?
Yeah, I was having problems with the skybox.
I think you'd have a lot of fun with Gary's mod then or something
no,
like that.
No, see, I like the Counter-Strike idea. You're within this... Because I always thought the maps are just so arbitrary. Like, terrorists just start in one spot, and counter-terrorists start in another, and you play a game. Like, they didn't... inject any story into like the maps, and I always thought it was a cool idea to have like some actual story, like this could really happen. So anyways,
but it didn't
and I lost it.
Bobby, where are we on time?
But it would have been awesome.
Yeah,
an hour.
And then so in regards to that, I'm going to follow up next week after trying it out. They're also buffing Bastion, so...
What?
Yeah, they're buffing Bastion.
Well, he doesn't get picked a lot, that's true.
Yeah, you don't see him in high-end okay rank competitive. Yeah,
seriously.
And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to put Bastion into competitive gameplay.
So basically, he's the least played in competitive?
Yeah, I would,
how are they
yeah
buffing
I would
him,
say.
Do you know?
They're buffing him in many different ways. They're improving his out of sentry mode, so he has more survivability, more ammo. They're also doing things like, oh, they're actually buffing Mercy, where she's going to be invulnerable when she rezzes too. I'm sorry, this is just a random
side.
That's good.
Which is important. And then with Bastion, he can heal while moving.
And
damage doesn't interrupt a heal anymore.
Cool.
And they're increasing his ammo capacity, I think, by 50 bullets while in sentry, or 100 bullets while in sentry. And
it would be nice if he could move a little bit in sentry.
Yeah, just
like
a little bit
slowly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Because
that
right
might
now,
be too
like
strong, maybe
I like
know
you set up and I don't know.
It's
I mean,
just an all-around buff for Bastion.
Okay.
A quick tip for from somebody who plays Bastion a lot: never reload when you're in sentry mode. Just turn into robot mode, move yourself a little bit, and then go back. It takes a second more, and you got to readjust yourself, and it reloads your gun too.
Oh wow!
I didn't know that.
Good tip. Never knew that. I don't.
What's up,
play
Lucio?
Bastion,
in
well, do we have more PTR notes? Is there more?
PTR notes, nothing. Those are just the main main adjustments.
Cool.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, I was in the bathroom. Roadhog rework. Did you talk about that?
Roadhog has reworking, or is that previous?
Yeah, that's
already been done.
Oh, so what happened there? I haven't played in a long time.
I don't know. I think he was kind of broken in a way that his hooks would go through corners. So I think it was more like a nerf.
Yeah, because I played him in practice, and he seemed the same. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what's up with Heroes of Storm?
So Lucio came out. I actually bought Lucio because I wanted to... Because Lucio is my man in Overwatch, so I wanted to try him out. He is cool. Zap is saying that he's got like a 60% win rate and he's unbalanced. I didn't see that. One, he doesn't have a cleanse, which support almost need to have in Heroes of the Storm.
In high-level play, yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a cleanse. He does cool stuff. So his passive is the wall riding. Mm-hmm. So he moves faster. If he's next to terrain that you can't go through, he'll wall ride and he gains speed and you can buff
awesome
and stuff like that. And then, so he's got the pushback, which is an arc in front of you. He's got the crossfade, which will either do a healing aura or...
How big is it?
It's decent size, but
big
you can
enough
do...
Not too big?
It's bigger than Brightwing. Brightwing is the other character in the game that has a
aura
passive heal that just heals. Once every 4 seconds, it does a burst heal around her. We never really figured out the gender of Brightwing, but his is a little bit bigger, and there is a trait you get, or a skill that you get at, I think, 7, that will make it even bigger. It's very large.
Yeah, it's not as big.
Yes.
Basically, it's the same range as he can shoot.
Okay.
So it's
in all directions, though.
Yeah, in all directions.
Yeah. Some people have complained that the healing aura, when you have that up, it is a yellow circle, and then the speed aura,
yeah,
when you switch
green
it, is green.
Yeah. That.
And I don't know. To me, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. I just got to remember to look for it.
Well, it follows what it's like in Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I think
so
that's what
all
it is in Overwatch.
And then, yeah, so then he's got a burst...
heal.
They amp it up.
Yeah.
Will either up his like healing from like 24 to 132 for 4 seconds or whatever, or he'll up the speed from like 15% bonus to like 45% bonus.
And that's his ult? No.
No. And then his ult is either the shield, like you have in Overwatch, or it'll do a reverse amp it up and slow down enemies or damage enemies over time.
Interesting.
So those are his two ultimates.
A little too powerful, Bobby?
He is pretty strong because his healing...
His heal is crazy.
Yeah. He has a huge power spike, especially at, I think, 16. He starts doing insane amounts of healing. And he doesn't use mana to heal. But what a lot of people... He boops. Oh, yeah. He boops.
Yeah.
So he can wall ride and get in front of someone and knock them back.
Oh.
And so he's got a little CC, but he puts himself at risk by doing so sometimes. So there's some playmaking potential there. He doesn't have a cleanse, which is a downside, but that would make him way too overpowered. But I think he is really good, and I think he'll probably get nerfed.
The other thing is, so he's got his gun, which does the four shots, blah, 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 whatever, or five shots. Yeah. But he can fully move. So basically, when you target something, it kind of puts a targeting reticle on them. And if they're in range, he'll just start shooting them. But you can move around and stuff.
Yeah, he's the only hero that can attack him simultaneously.
Tracer Cannon, the two main Overwatch characters.
Yeah,
but Zarya doesn't do any damage really. Like it's more like a dot.
Very little damage.
It's like Overwatch.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I was going to tell.
Have you played him and all?
Yeah, I played a ton of them, but. I think people are playing him wrong a lot. I've done a lot of research, watched some streamers play him, and the trick is...
Chi's got to go. Say bye, Chi.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah?
Hey, yeah, I have to head out. I'm selling something, so on OfferUp, so I'm going to leave.
Okay.
Her soul to the devil.
Later,
Chi. Catch me outside.
Yeah.
Bye, Chi. Good podcast.
Well, we'll play some this weekend. We need to figure out a time. We'll play.
Yeah, bye.
Later. So what were you saying?
Oh, so Lucio, so the trick that I've found with him is his heal, just normally, if you stand in range of his heal, does like 30 health, 40 health per second, which is nothing. An auto attack can be like 100 to 200 damage. So if you think about it, it could take you 4 seconds to heal the amount of health that is taken away from an auto attack. So unless you use Amp It Up, you want to always have your speed on. You want to be using your speed most of the time. Even if someone's taking damage and running away, you use the speed.
Yeah, that's true.
They get away. And like if you can get them away so they take one or two less auto attacks, then that's more valuable than if you were to be healing them.
And then you switch over and amp up your heal.
Yeah.
Once they make it out, you want.
Yeah, but I think people are just not utilizing his speed. They're leaving it on the heal most of the time, and it does nothing unless you have Amp It Up, really.
Yeah, it's really minuscule. It's like goes all the time, but it's like six. Like sixes just are going up, but it's really nothing.
Yeah.
Cool. You want to go down to the news, see what we got?
Oh, we never did the fucking mobile corner.
Oh, you want to do the mobile corner? Let's do it.
Yeah, I think she had something for the mobile
corner. No, I got something. I can talk. Okay. I'll talk quick, though.
But how do we do it?
Bobby's got the thing up. So our listener Recycled, is it Recycled?
Yeah.
With a D, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. He did a little intro for Chad's Mobile Corner, so we're going to play this, and I'll talk about a game real quick.
Chad's Mobile Corner.
You can hear me laughing in the background.
I love it. Okay, so I talked about, when was that, last week or 2 weeks ago, about this geometry game, and I said it's like math problems.
B2 or...
It's called Euclidea.
Oh.
So that was the last one. But I got another game, Picross. Do you guys know the term Picross? Picross?
No.
Never heard of it.
All right. Look it up real quick, Bobby.
How do you spell that?
Picross. So basically, Picross is this style of game where you've got a grid and numbers around it, and you've got to figure out where the marks are on this grid, and then it forms an image. And it's a game, but it's also kind of a math problem, and I've just been on these kind of games like that. So I found a game that actually does this really well. It's called Picross Luna. So if you're not into like these Picross games, then don't bother, but if you're kind of into these kind of brain teasers, give that one a go. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's got ads, but it says a thing. If you beat more than like 80% of the game, it removes the ads, which I kind of think is a cool
That's
idea.
That's interesting, yeah.
But it's the only, like, not a downside, but it was obviously not made by somebody that speaks English.
Yeah.
And the translations are not very good at all, but you don't need to see any of the text, you know? Like, it's not a text-based thing, so... But it's fun. I dig it. That's kind of what I've just been doing when I'm sitting on the toilet. So give it a go. Picross Luna. And thank you again, Recycle, for the mobile audio, Chad's Mobile Corner.
I got to plug another thing. I forgot that I did a listener spotlight with Fastidious.
Oh, so you recut it?
No, we redid it.
Okay.
While we were drunk.
Okay. And so it's going to be at the end of this?
Yeah, let's put it in there.
Awesome.
I don't know how good it is. I was pretty wasted. I did.
Was he wasted too?
I did ask him about his dead parents at one point, and that got super awkward. So there is that.
Sorry, Fastidious, on that whole thing. I apologize for you.
I was like, hey, so if you're holding your mom and your dad at the edge of a cliff, you had to drop one, which one would it be? He's like, Jesus, dude. Well, I lost them both when I was young. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, let's replace them with a Snickers bar and Reese's.
Oh, you're a jerk.
I know.
Wow.
Okay, so check that out at the end of the episode. And if you are interested, if you're a new listener or haven't had a chance to do a listener spotlight and you are interested, hit us up on the Discord or hit us up on our Steam group. You can find them all at dlgaming.net. But we like to do one every episode, but we've done a lot of our listeners, so we don't get a chance to do them as much as we'd like. So we'd like to do them more.
Yep, yeah. We love doing our listeners.
And we used to have developers on all the time, and that's kind of trailed off. I did email a bunch of guys this week. Hopefully I get some leads, and we'll have more and more content.
Yep.
Year of the Mammoth, that's
part of that's Chief. Me. No, okay. That's me. So Year of the Mammoth, Hearthstone.
DLC?
No, remember they changed, and they went to Standard and Wild, and part of Standard is they are doing a new set every or new turn every year. So the first year was Year of the Kraken. So this new year is coming out, and the next year is called Year of the Mammoth. So they announced some changes. Sorry, and I need to bring this
so
up.
So this doesn't come with new cards. It's just a kind of like
so basically
a,
when
a feel.
When the new card set comes out, they're going to get rid of all the other card sets except for the core set.
Okay.
And so Standard, you know, it's kind of like Magic,
yeah,
where the last three sets are in Standard. Mm-hmm. So the way Hearthstone
but Magic
works,
didn't have years of anything.
Yeah, this is just to label it and to name it stuff. So there's a couple notes here, but I got to bring it up. So give me just
He's
one
got
second.
It here.
Oh, okay, perfect. So they're making changes. They used to do, or they are doing, one adventure set, then one card set, one adventure set, yeah, then one card set. They're getting rid of the adventure sets. So it's only going to be card sets that come out every year. But the card sets are going to include some single-player elements that is optional. So you can play them or you cannot. But then, so basically, they're going to do three of these 132-plus card sets per year. So you're going to get three card sets. So about one a quarter.
What is this?
They're discussing something in chat, and I just wanted to link a video for there.
Okay.
Just ignore.
Okay. Well, I was trying to read this article that you have put up.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. I totally derailed the show just make a stupid joke in chat. All right.
Okay.
You know, I am glad to hear about this, though, because I don't play Hearthstone, but I've been hearing from a lot of people that do that the meta and just everything about the game has just been getting really stale. And
yes.
A lot of people have been upset about it.
Well, the newest set...
Bobby has really strong opinions about games he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
he
yeah.
has played them. And he's a little more tapped in, you know, being a middle school teacher as well as a streamer, popular streamer on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So he's
very exaggerated, but okay.
He's tapped into the people that know. So they're doing three card sets. Scroll it down a little bit, Bobby. There's more stuff.
All right.
The other thing is they're doing a couple... They're getting a couple of the cards in the core set gone that are just overpowered, which I'm very thankful for. Some of these cards in the core set are just too strong, so they're getting rid of them so they can open up some more gameplay.
Like Azur's Drake.
They're straight up getting rid of cards.
They're moving them into the Hall of Fame, and the Hall of Fame cards can't
Type
be played
one.
In Standard.
Type one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah. It's
so
exactly.
They still have like the Wild and the
Wild.
Other one.
You can play them in Wild, but okay. As far as Standard are concerned, so Sylvanas, Azur Drake. All right, keep moving down. I don't care about this stuff. These are all cards that are
Ragnaros.
Going away. And then the other one, keep going. I already talked about that. The last thing is they're expanding their Fireside Gatherings, and
which are what?
Basically, they're trying to do a thing. Fireside Gatherings, basically, they're trying to imitate Magic, where, you know, you'd go to the card shop and people are playing Magic and you'd be like, oh, what are they playing? And you're interested. Mm-hmm. A Fireside Gathering is you get your mobile phones together and all and could play against each other just in a local area.
Oh.
But there's no physical cards, so you have to use your mobile or whatever. So they're trying to expand it more and give more elements to people to play this.
It's, so more people sitting in circles looking at their own phones.
Yep, exactly.
But, I mean, it's cool.
Yeah. And then the last one is they are doing a new rogue hero called with Maiev Shadow Song, so she'll be available in the new year.
Where's the monk?
Yeah, no monk, no DKs, no demon hunter still. So I don't know when those guys will come out, but anyways, so that's it for Year of the Mammoth.
Cool. It's kind of a short episode, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have the listener spotlight at the end.
Yeah.
And it really isn't. We're at an hour 15.
Do anything else we want to talk about?
What's next week looking like? After this podcast, I'm going to buy Shadows of the Empire for $5.99 on Steam, and I'm going to play that.
Are we doing a play with listeners this weekend?
I mean, I don't see that there's a way. You have company.
I can get a couple hours and play if we want to play tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, tonight or tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow night. I mean, most people have tomorrow off, right?
Yeah, I have tomorrow off. I will not be home tomorrow night, though.
Ooh, sounds like sexy time.
The once a week sexy time?
Yeah.
Tonight, maybe? We got maybe playing tonight?
I could do tonight.
Tonight's good for me.
Okay, so maybe we'll be on tonight, but you're listening to this, and that will have been too late. So check us out on the Discord on the Looking for Group channel, and we'll post up when we're playing together.
Welcome to the party, Charibidizil.
Charibidis.
Charibidis.
Got it.
Yeah, so this is a short one, so small perky titties, everybody.
Oh, you're still doing the titties thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, cool. I like it.